Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay, who's back in the building from his trips to Cincinnati, outer Uganda, and Aruba, I believe, are all the places that you have
all
been.
The beautiful places.
It's like our very own Anthony Bourdain.
It is, yes.
Yeah. I've been eating some great food.
Yeah,
great food.
You are back. Welcome back. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, including what I think, and maybe Ken will disagree with me, on the already needing to rebrand a station that hasn't even started yet, because I'm already confused. The Fox Sports 1.1 card and the Fox Sports 1.2 card, I think that they're going to have to fix.
Is that what they're really doing?
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing UFC on Fox Sports 1.1 and UFC on Fox Sports 1.2.
Yes, but they're 2 weeks apart, so half the time when you see these stories break, you're not really even sure what card they are, because I saw the Campman Condit card, and I thought it was on Fox Sports 1.1.
Because, you tweeted me.
It's on version 1.2.
But now Sonnen is on 1.1,
So
Wikipedia doesn't even know.
This is my point. In segment two, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But we go to Fuel TV tonight, or tomorrow night.
Are you sure?
We go to Brazil. I don't have fuel, so you will go to Fuel TV to check out the rematch between Nogueira and Fabricio Werdum. They met in Pride in 2006, and Nogueira was the winner of that one. Werdum says that now is his time. They were the two coaches on Tough Brazil 2, so they will go head-to-head, as well as the finalists, who you chances are have no idea who they are. So this is another one of these cards where if you're looking for MMA action, you will certainly get that. But, Sean, you got to wonder how many people are going to tune in to see this card when you've got a bunch of people that really aren't of the highest level of what people would know as mainstream in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the other opponents like Thiago Silva, Eric, and couple of these other guys, you know, if you've been following previous Ultimate Fighters and or just watching some fights, you'll be like, oh yeah, I do recognize this. But yeah, I think overall they're catering to South America. And
certainly, you've got
100%.
There's not a lot of guys you can look on this card and I know that guy. These are all guys that are out of country and we don't have those shows here.
Yeah, you've got Thiago Silva taking on Strikeforce transplant Cavalcante, Eric Silva, as you said, going against American and thought to be winner of the tough season he was on, Jason High. He will be in the octagon, and I believe Hani won his tough season, tough one, right? Jason is back in. He's the one that, of course, wears the Jason mask when he comes to the octagon. He's taking on undefeated Mike Wilkinson as that card kicks off in the main card. But like I said, the rematch between the Nogueira and Werdum is interesting from a number of perspectives. Number one, the fight in Pride was during Shockwave, and it was a
2005 or
6,
six.
I believe.
Yeah, it was a Grand Prix quarterfinal.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Long, long time ago. So this is kind of bad blood that's been bubbling for a long, long time, and I think an excellent opportunity, if you're not very familiar with Werdum, to see him in his prime, you know, taking on Nogueira, a guy he's already fought. So to me, I don't know, and Sean, you could speak much more eloquently to this. Do you feel that Werdum, I know he's been in the UFC before, but this is a bigger stage, main eventing in 2013. Will the jitters be affected since he already has fought a Nogueira, and this Nogueira in particular? Does that kind of alleviate it since you already know that you've been in there with that guy? You kind of has touched him, so to speak?
I think there's two sides here. One, when Nogueira fought Werdum, I think Werdum was very young at the time. Nogueira was kind of at his peak. You know, I'm not saying that Nogueira's over, you know, he's past his prime, but he is getting older and he is slowing down a bit. But every time we think we count him out, he wins, you know, by knockout or submission or whatever. So I think Fabricio has the youth going into this for this fight compared to.
And for people who don't know what you're referring to, Big Nog, when he was in that Pride era,
was a beast,
but he was in some wars.
Yes.
And you know, you see this with Shogun. It depends on which Shogun's going to show up.
Right.
You know, the Shogun that you think is going to run over somebody gets beat and loses his belt to Forrest Griffin, and then when you think he's going to get run over, he shows up. And Nogueira's the same way. But, yeah, he's got a lot more miles on him than Verdum does for sure.
And Nogueira's got that experience when he knocked out Brendan Schaub. He loves that fight more than any of all of his fights because he got to do it in Brazil. He did it in front of his 3 miles away from his house, 1 mile away from his gym, I think is what it was. And there he was in that arena, and he got the knockout. Like, the whole country was celebrating for him. And so he's got that experience going in, and that might be where the jitters might kick in for Verdum because he hasn't experienced that yet. It's like
are you going to see a lot of jitters, though, for a guy like Verdum? I mean, he's from Brazil. It's not like he's walking into a crowd he doesn't understand or know.
No, but you want to deliver so big, and you want to do it proudly.
Yeah, because you got like
so he has more pressure in that situation.
Yeah, because Sean's
thinking.
Referring to, of course, the big knock knockout, but most importantly, the seminal moment in modern mixed martial arts is Jose Aldo leaping into the crowd. Yep. I mean, that's what these guys want, is these moments where you just annihilate your opponent. And then
you don't
want
to just win.
Yeah.
You want to win where the country picks you up on their shoulders.
But that was Brendan Schaub. That was not a fellow countryman. That was, I don't know if you're going to see quite that electricity. I honestly don't know where the fans' loyalties lie in some of these Brazilian fights.
I see what you're saying.
I think it would probably lie with a guy like Big Nog in this fight. That would be my guess. But Verdum in his home country, I don't know how far the arena is from his house in this situation, but that's a big difference than when he goes in there against Brendan Schaub. And I don't know if that's a big, big advantage for him, especially considering you've got a couple things for Verdum. Verdum wants to get that loss back. He's got that loss all the way back from 2006. He's got a chance to get it back. And these are two guys where you look at their careers, they're definitely going in different directions.
Sure.
Verdum's probably still going up. And Big Nog, as much as most love him and as tough as he is, you have to say he's on the downside of his career.
Or at least he's plateauing.
Yeah,
sure.
He at least plateauing. I would venture downside. I would say he's not as good as we've seen him in the past, nor will he ever be. On some nights, though, he's as good as he ever was.
Yeah.
So will this be one of those nights is the question, Eric.
Well, and you've got a great question, because when you look at Verdum's record, he's only losing to upper echelon guys. We referred to the Shockwave loss to Big Nog. He's lost to Overeem, lost to JDS, lost to Arlovski in his prime, I dare say, and Karatanov, who you may not know, but in Pride, Karatanov had some brilliant wins. And
Karatanov was bad.
This was one of them.
And that was years ago, too.
And Verdum was the first guy to dethrone Fedor.
Yes.
So that's huge for the MMA world.
And it was huge that day, obviously.
Everyone was screaming.
This could be, to your point, Ken, a very interesting fight in that you've got youth on Verdum's side, so to speak, in that there's much more wars, I should say.
For the 35-year-old guy, we've got youth on his side.
Right, that's what I mean. Like time, not really. But in MMA time, I feel the Big Nog has had much bigger, longer, more destructive battles to his body than Fabricio Verdum. So you've got that on your side.
Like that Crow Cup fight? Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Big Nog's only 2 years older. He looks about 50 years
older. Yeah. Well, see, I mean, we always said the same thing about Crow Cup, is that Crow Cup looked
Dude,
like...
check this out, man. True story. I ran into Big Nog in downtown at the beach in San Diego, and I was with my wife and some friends, and he just got his arm broken by Frank Mir.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked up, and he came out of this like cell phone shop or something, and I was like, Big Nog.
Do you have a cast on?
It was in a sling.
Okay.
Right? So I was like, Big Nog, you know, I was like, dude, I'm a big fan. I never met the guy before. And anyway, so, you know, we walk away, and all my friends and family are like, why were you talking to that homeless guy? And I was like, what are you guys talking about?
He probably walked with a little hitch
in his
step.
Well, you know, he looked kind of funny. His arm was in a sling. He had like a dirty sweatshirt on or something. And if you didn't know who he was, then I kind of did like a double take. I was like, he did look kind of run down a little bit. Yeah, but you're right. He does look a lot older. My friends thought he was a homeless guy. And I'm like, dude, that's Big Nog. What are you talking about?
That's motivation when you're fighting to get a home.
Yes.
Maybe you got to take Big Nog at this fight.
We call it the Fitch what we call that when you're fighting for your home.
Poor
Sorry.
John Fitch.
Too soon? Okay.
No, don't worry.
He can't podcast this without the internet.
Fitch is doing great right now. He's got a great fight coming up.
Josh
He's good.
Berkman, sure. Okay, so that'll be on Fuel TV tomorrow night. But, Ken, I want to ask you before we get to talk about Fox Sports 1 and what they're doing.
1.1 or?
Just in general,
oh, okay.
You know, you see, we're trying to get to the point where we've got an event every week. You're either Fuel, FX, pay-per-view, or Fox, right?
And we might start throwing Bellator into the mix. I know we'll probably talk about more of that later.
Sure, we'll talk about Rampage and Bellator here in a little bit. But when you take Fuel and FX out of it and you replace them with Fox Sports 1, do you think you're going to see Fox Sports 1 traveling to Brazil as much as they've been able to when they've been able to split these cards? Because we talked about the echelon or the hierarchy of these UFC cards and now how they're going to change in August. Do you think that they're going to do that in the same way that they have been doing, traveling to Brazil six times a year?
I'm wondering if we're not going to see at some point with this many cards and this being on Fox Sports 1. I'm confused by the numbering.
See,
situation.
This is what I'm telling you. They've got
to fix
this.
Because there's
going
to be a Fox Sports 2. That's why it's a little confusing as well.
So when will I see Fox Sports 2, 3?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess the big question is this Sports 1 or whatever it is, is it being an addition to, or is
well,
it
so
getting,
no,
are you going
it's replacing,
replacing
yeah.
Fuel
yeah,
or something?
They're not going to be on FX. Fuel's going to become two. Fox Sports Soccer is going to become one. Something. Whoever's got most penetration is one.
Hey, so, hey, yeah,
easy,
so,
easy,
yeah.
Easy.
What happened, and if you noticed this week, you saw it happen, is FX has now turned into FXM, and that's where they're going to put all the movies. Then it's my understanding they're going to have a different FX where the shows will end up.
Like a comedy show.
So all of the UFC product that's on either one of those FXs that have since split. Like
FX LOL, is that the comedy one?
Yes, that's the comedy one. We'll call that. All right. Good call. Those move to Fox Sports 1. Fuel essentially becomes, even if it's not the channel, Fuel essentially becomes Fox Sports 1. So both of those cards go to Fox Sports 1 if you haven't really been paying close attention.
And they from 700, whatever channel, it comes down to like 192.
Whatever it's going to end up being. But my question is, when you have... only confirmation at this point of Fox Sports 1 and a rumor of Fox Sports 2.
Well, no, there's going to be a Fox Sports 2,
right,
but
we
don't
know
if it's got UFC product.
Right. We don't know if there's a connection. Right. So my question is, if you have now, you had four properties, now you have three.
Okay.
You have Fox, pay-per-view, and Fox Sports 1. Ken, do you think that they're going to hit Brazil as much as they have been since they had two more properties to kind of split that up amongst?
Well, I think it's a situation where we might see more international shows just because they can make their money from tickets in places where they don't traditionally go, whether it's Australia, whether it's going to be somewhere in Asia. Some of the Fuel shows we've seen were based in China, and we had an Australian show, I believe, that showed up on Fuel TV. They can make their money at the gate there. So essentially all they have to do is rent the satellite time, and they can make it into a show. Obviously, they've got a lot of product they're going to have out there because we only have Fox Sports 1 shows confirmed, and we have 2 in 3 weeks, right? Is this the schedule they plan on maintaining, every other week schedule? Because
what they have said is that for the remainder of the year, they're going to do biweekly shows.
Wow.
And they're going to be live in some, whatever that means. Obviously, if you go to England, that kind of messes up your definition of the word live, but they will be live in some sort of capacity.
And I know people don't necessarily like it when we do this comparison, but I'm going to use it right now. If you look at that Fox Sports 1 show, 1.2, is that what we're going to call it? That second one is in Indianapolis, correct?
Yes.
We might see penetration from the UFC into cities that maybe they wouldn't hold a pay-per-view card. Maybe you're not going to see a UFC on Fox. So instead of Chicago, you know what? We don't run in Indianapolis. So we can probably sell the card out just because the UFC's in Indianapolis. That's exactly what the WWE does. They sell out arenas every single week. And the way they do that is by moving the show around. So the people in a certain market, whether it's in our home market of Grand Rapids, Michigan, they get a Raw show. But it's only once every year or two. So you're probably going to sell that show out. If you've got a UFC and we see it in, again, our home market of Grand Rapids, we haven't had a UFC here. If they were to run here, they could run a Fox Sports show here and probably sell it out without saying a single name.
Sure.
Yeah, easy.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe see not only a more international model where we see shows that are based in Brazil and Australia and China, but maybe we see what we would consider smaller markets in the U.S. where we're not going to put John Jones on a card in Kansas City necessarily, but we might put a UFC on Fox Sports 1 card in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I just picked Kansas City out of the air. A market of
or
that
Cleveland
size.
Or whatever.
Yeah, Cleveland. You don't ever want to put a pay-per-view in Cleveland.
Never. You never want to do that. All right. Speaking of that, we will talk about Fox Sports 1.1 and Fox Sports 1.2-7/photos next on Way of the Warrior. Brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and powered, as always, by Onnit Supplements at onnit.com/wowshow. And let's not forget, Rampage has a new job. We'll cover that. Dana wants two fighters to retire and a lot more on the way. It's Way of the Warrior. Go.
I never thought I would be at
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, powered by Gun Lake Casino, as always, and available on Stitcher and on iTunes, excuse me, as part of the Fight Fans Radio Network and online at fightfansradio.com. And one other place that you can find us, Twitter and Facebook, by searching Wow Show. We talked about Fox Sports 1.
Sean's back.
And Sean is back.
You forgot him.
I did not. I never forget him.
You forgot him. You didn't say his name.
He did.
Sean Dizay is here from Triumph MMA.
Okay.
My apologies.
I thought he forgot
you. There's Dizay, there's a way. So slow down.
I'm stuck over here on this side with him, so I'm very clear that he's back.
He is totally here. We are talking about Fox Sports 1 and what that means to the UFC. And if perhaps, as we saw with the Fox cards, they stopped numbering them because it got a little cumbersome. So it was Fox Chicago or Fox Saturdays Chicago.
Which I like better.
I do like that better. I think that's going to have to happen with this because I'm already confused. And by that, I mean they have two cards in the month of August, both named Fox Sports 1. One is Fox Sports 1.1 or dash 1, and then one is Fox Sports 1-2, which sound much more like software updates than they do cards in the UFC.
It's very confusing.
So, but the way they do the way they do their pay-per-views, though, they always just the main event. It's like so-and-so versus so-and-so, right? That's how they name their...
Their naming convention, to be fair to them, for this first one looks like UFC on Fox Sports 1, Shogun Sonnen. And that's obviously the fight we're going to talk about here because it got moved. So that's what I think they're going to end up doing. The problem is nobody in MMA media wants to ever change things, and the fact that pay-per-views have numbers mean we have to give everything number or we forget it.
Sure.
We don't number Floyd Mayweather's fights. I don't understand why everybody hangs on to this stupid numbering convention.
Well, because we would only have to number it once a year.
Yeah. Well, we don't do it. There's been 46 of them.
Yeah.
We don't need to do it. We can't remember Fox Someone Sports, had their coffee Shogun this morning. Sonnen. Can't remember it if they have a rematch.
So perhaps if you missed this, Fox Sports 1.1, I'm not changing, was supposed to be Overeem and Travis Brown. They are still fighting. No worries. However, UFC 164 hit a hiccup as Lil Nog, Big Nog's younger brother, injured his back and could not fight Shogun. So they canceled the fight. And then lo and behold, the man who talks himself into everything, Chael Sonnen shows up and says, hey, Shogun.
I thought you were going to say Matt Hamill.
I was not going to say Matt Hamill. Shogun, hey, Shogun, I heard that Brazilian chicken is off the menu. And, you know,
do it.
The pride of West Lynn would like to take you up on that offer. So Shogun was down with it, started looking at tape, changing the way he was training, blah, 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 blah. A visa issue prevents this from happening at UFC 164. So they move it to
Fox. I think it's 163.
Yeah, sorry. Doesn't matter, still not happening.
Right.
was moved from 163-1 to Fox Sports 1 in August. So I immediately had two questions that came to mind. How many times are we going to get fooled by Chael Sonnen? And do people want to see this at this point? Yes, I understand.
Yes!
Hang on.
That's your own question.
I understand that he's only lost in the last 2 years to Anderson Silva twice and Jon Jones, but he got annihilated by Jon Jones.
Yeah.
Annihilated.
Oh, he's going to kill Rua.
I don't know about that.
I think he's going to kill him. I think it's going to be awesome. I think he's going to dominate.
Straight. He's having a good time
over
here.
He's going to dominate him. Yeah. Hua's in for it. We don't know which Hua shows up. It doesn't matter. They're both going to lose.
Maybe both of them should show up, right? Check it out.
I am excited
Call
about
up
this.
Ninja. Hey, you know, Ninja, we got to double team this dude.
Now, I did mention this last week that I think these are a little top-heavy for what these cards are going to be.
Holy cow. This one for sure.
Chael Sonnen, Mauricio Shogun Hua fight, and then we've got Alistair and Travis Brown. That's a heck of a card for and Fox Sports 1.
You got Uriah Faber running around down there like a Tasmanian devil.
Right.
You could stop there, except you've got Uriah Faber taking on Yuri Alcantara.
Oh, and Matt Brown.
Matt Brown, Cincinnati's finest.
The immortal.
Taking on Thiago Alves. And then, of course... We're trying to prove whether or not Uriah Hall still belongs to the UFC or if the hype train was derailed in the house. He will take on another tough alum in Nick Ring. And since it's Boston, you get Joe Lozon, who will absolutely dismantle a man named Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a heck of a card.
You know what, though? Their last card was pretty phenomenal, too, man.
Right, but
these cards are just getting...
When you're dealing with the way that this is kind of flushing itself out, Sean... Ken's right. We can't keep up this.
I can.
I would pay for this.
I wouldn't.
I would pay.
I'm glad it's free.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I might go to a
you
bar.
You wouldn't pay for Shogun Chael.
Oh,
up.
I'm sorry. That's right. I'm sending Chael all my money. I forgot. My bad. Yeah, I would. I mean, that's almost a pay-per-view level card.
It is. You know what? You're absolutely right, because Alistair is huge. He, you know, a lot of people. Well, until he got knocked out, he had a lot going into him. Shogun is awesome. Sonnen, we don't even need to go there. That guy can write his own checks for whatever he wants to buy these days. It's not even. It's a stacked card, all you know, from A to Z.
We know that the UFC likes to kick things off big, and we alluded to it when you were out the past couple of weeks, as we talked about the fact that they went into that Fox deal. They gave them a free UFC heavyweight championship match. A free one. This wasn't part of the contract. Like, hey, here you go. We like to get things going good.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of looks like what we're doing here with this UFC on Fox Sports 1 card.
And they have they have enough guys to do that with. So
they do, except for you.
Here
look,
they do, yeah, but they can't keep doing it.
And I'm going to prove that they can't keep doing it as we go to Fox Sports 1.2 that is main evented by...
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, main evented by a fight I'm super excited to see.
Sure.
Condit and Campman again. Great. Donald Cerrone and Rafael Dos Anjos. Okay.
These should be good fights, but they're not fights that are going to draw eyeballs.
I'd rather have seen, what's the name, fight him.
Well, thank you.
Josh the Punk. Fight Donald Cerrone.
Yes, for sure.
That would have been a better fight.
Then you get a tough winner of season 17, Kevin Gastelum. He's taking on Paulo Thiago, Sarah McMahon, and Sarah Kaufman. And then it all starts rolling downhill as you've got Magnus Centerball taking on Robert McDaniel.
I liked him in that thing where they put the rock up on the stand. And then, is that a different Magnus?
Different Magnus.
Sorry.
He did fight in MMA briefly.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
Good for him.
Not this guy, though. And then Strikeforce transplant Bobby Volker taking on James Head.
Congratulations on employment, Bobby Volker.
And that's card number two. So it goes from being this thing that you're like, oh, wow, these are going to be awesome, to like...
Well, in all fairness, it's Fox Sports 1.1, that's awesome, and 1.2, that's, you know, not so awesome. So, you know...
I think... I would disagree even with that assessment. I think it's going to be a solid fight card. It's what we should come to expect, though, from some of these cards. I mean, if you look at this card and you line it up with Condit Campman, I like that on the top
it's
of that card.
Great way to finish that off.
This is supposed to be like your ESPN Friday night fights or Tuesday night fights or whatever night of the week they decide to do fights this week on ESPN. You watch that, you don't know who any of those dudes are. I know a lot of really big boxing fans know, and please don't send them emails and get mad. As a casual viewer, I'm not going to know any of these guys. And as a casual viewer, you're not going to know most of these guys on these UFC on Fox Sports 1 cards. But they should be good cards, and the guys at the top should be somewhere in the mix. I mean, you could argue that Condit should still be in the mix for that title, even after he lost that fight. Because
I'm telling you, he's still in the mix. I just think this is interesting because he wants to keep fighting, is waiting for Rory. Whatever's going to happen with Rory McDonald from his injury, but he wants to keep fighting, and this is a fight that people want to see again. They want to see Condit Campman again, and why not, really?
The cool thing is that these cards are like, what, a week apart?
2 weeks apart. Two and they're going to do that for the remainder of the year. So you're going to see bi-weekly, middle of the week. And that's the other thing, Ken. Will this shift in days mess up the timing?
What are the dates we're looking at here? Because I did notice that's not exactly 2 weeks later.
So we've got
an August 17th date, and then we've got an August 28th date. So
the 28th is a Wednesday, and the 17th is
a Saturday.
So they kick it off on a Saturday, but then they move to Wednesday nights, which is what they're going to do.
Is that going to be consistently Wednesday?
For the remainder of the year, it's my understanding, yes. But will that kind of mess up the way that the whole thing kind of flows? Because you'll have weeks where you've got a pay-per-view on that Saturday, or you'll have weeks where there's nothing on a Wednesday. And does that timing work out for the casual fan?
I don't know. It's interesting to go to Wednesday when you're not going to run it weekly. I would almost say you would run these cards weekly at that point, but obviously you don't have the fighters to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is running every other Wednesday. How many fights are they going to get on in the middle of the week? Traditionally, whenever UFC has ventured into this area, and they haven't done it often, you only get two or three fights because they don't want to go all night on a Wednesday night. You pretty much start losing that primetime audience on the East Coast 10:30, 11 at the latest. So you don't get that cushion that you get with a Friday or Saturday night show where you can kind of float off into midnight and be okay on the East Coast. You're going to lose those viewers if you keep going that late.
Well, and in the Fox Sports 1.2 event, that's the 28th in Indianapolis, and then 3 days later, you're in Milwaukee for UFC 164.
You know who else keeps everything in a truck and goes city to city is the WWE. Are we sure that's not what they're looking at? They're going to start routing, I'm telling
you.
Well,
what would be interesting is if you go back in the history of the WWE to when they were WWF, and this is what I'm fascinated to see if happens. Will you ever see these cards, some of these Fox biweekly cards, becoming places for them to kind of spotlight people?
I hope so, man. I really do.
You know, like in the, I know you've got some guys that you're working on to get to the big show, but
so
like,
it's so difficult to get these
guys
fights.
It's super difficult and it's hard to get them fights, but wouldn't it be awesome if, let's say, not all of them, because we need the Overeem, Shogun, Chael, Travis Brown thing to suck us in, but maybe once a month one of these is kind of Kevin Gastelum main events it. You know, he won tough, he dethroned Uriah Hall, he's got some interest, and probably a Wednesday night, if you're a fan of MMA, you might be into it. And that brings us to, I know a question that Ken wants to talk about in the next segment is talking about the Bellator model. That's kind of what they're doing. You don't really know any of you don't know any of those guys for the most part. I mean, if you ask a casual fan who's at Buffalo Wild Wings watching UFC 160 to go, hey, who won the heavyweight tournament in Bellator 2 years ago? They won't have any idea.
We don't have to know that, do we?
No, we do not.
Okay,
but
good.
My point is this.
I was with you, Ken. I was kind of like, we're playing that Strikeforce game again.
Who the hell is this guy? My point is, if you're doing who the hell is this guy, this might be an interesting business model. And although the UFC is shedding 100 fighters before the end of the year, they still need to build people up to fill those championship slots.
And I think you kind of touched on it a little bit. I think what they're doing, if they follow this avenue, is they'll find new young talent and guys that have good records. They're undefeated, 8-0 or 7-1 or whatever the case is. And, hey, you know what? Obviously, you'll never get on a pay-per-view undercard because you got to work your way up to that. So they hit towns like Kansas City or whatever, and, you know, here's a slot. Let's get you in here. You're a local guy. Let's see what happens, you know, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, if it works out that way, it would be awesome. It would be great for all the young fighters out there.
Especially if Ken's right and they start visiting cities like Grand Rapids. And, you know, I mean, Indianapolis and Milwaukee, those are two. You got Duke Rufus in your backyard in Milwaukee, obviously. And those are great towns that I'm sure the undercard, like we would call the dark matches that don't make TV, are going to be filled with guys that probably are out of Rufus's camp and maybe have never seen the light of day in the UFC.
And there's a lot of times they can't make it back to a city because the margins don't work for a big pay-per-view scale show.
Sure.
But maybe they could show up in Detroit again. We haven't had a Detroit show here in Michigan in, I think it's been 4 years. It was the last card at the Palace.
I think it was the Machida versus Rampage.
It was Machida versus Rampage.
That was about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was longer than that. I feel like
I didn't move here 4 years ago, and I was here when that.
I feel like it was
down.
Three or four. I mean, Cole Conrad is your first Bellator champion too. Since we're looking for those random answers,
training partner Brock Lesnar. There you go, back at you.
Did he win the Bellator heavyweight championship?
He won the first one.
Didn't
back
one
at Bellator.
Coming,
Bellator 32. I've got my laptop with me today.
Look at this guy.
I had to look it up.
Man, it was 2010, November 20th.
See, I told you.
What do you mean, see? It's
you
3 years
four.
Ago. You said 2.5.
Really?
This so we're right in between, and he's arguing.
This guy. The guy's from Cleveland, I swear.
No, I know. I'm not from Cleveland.
All right, so Fox Sports 1 is going to kick off on August 17th. Fox Sports 1.2 will be 2 weeks later, followed by UFC 164. When we come back, a bunch of interesting things happening in the world of mixed martial arts. There is a single place in the universe, or we'll call it North America, a single place in North America where you cannot fight mixed martial arts. A single place.
Wow.
That may or may not be the largest or home to the largest city.
Don't give it all away. We want them to listen to the next segment.
Right.
All
right. And you know what? They're right and the other states are wrong.
The other states, provinces, nations.
Yes.
They're all wrong. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Dezay, Ken Evans, and brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and powered by on its supplements at onnit.com/wowshow.
Why is his name second now?
You know what? I think the way you said it just like that is perfect. That's the pitch it like that every time, man. That was awesome.
What did you say earlier? If it's Dizay, it's okay? Is that what you said?
No, wherever there's Dizay, there's a way.
Oh.
Come on now.
I like if it's Dizay.
Come on.
If it's Dizay, it's okay.
I like
hey.
Okay, Dizay.
Why are you stealing my thunder?
Put that
man
on a shirt.
All right, so
whatever you say, Dizay.
On Wednesday night, there was a landfall, a sweeping movement across North America that was MMA becoming legal in all of the provinces in the fine country of Canada, the top hat to America, if you will. And Connecticut signs on a couple hours later, which leaves one place in North America where MMA is still illegal. And that place is home to the largest city in North America, in New York City. And that is New York State. It's the only place in North America where professional MMA cannot happen. So, Sean, to the question you said last segment, are they the right ones and everybody else in this hemisphere is wrong? Or could they just be being difficult?
Maybe they just don't need the extra revenue. I don't know. Maybe they're just doing just fine down there.
What you said, though, you said they're right and everybody else is wrong. Why are they right?
No. I didn't say. I said, are they thinking that they're right?
Oh, okay. Whoa. I thought you were on board.
No.
Why would I be on board? Well, no, but I know you hate a lot of the regulations or lack thereof in a lot of other states. So I thought you thought the ban was good until everybody gets their crap together.
The thing about New York is that they have, the way it's stated there, there's loopholes. So you can actually put on amateur
right?
Stuff.
Yeah.
You can do kickboxing. You can do all these things. But if you go professional MMA, it's like the red flag comes up and all sorts of weird gangster rumors and stuff. So it's just like it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's wrong with New York. I don't understand why. Anytime, I don't care how good a city's doing, anytime you have an event, whether it's a concert, a wrestling show, an MMA show, anytime when someone's coming into your city and they want to produce, you know, money for that town, I mean, everything goes up, man. I mean,
and I know,
it's a great trickle effect for
absolutely
everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. The economy, it's a boon to the economy.
Great.
And I understand the politics of, let's say I don't understand. I understand the variable of the politics of the culinary union. However, I don't necessarily understand the hypocrisy of the state itself. And to that, I mean, I know Ken is a much bigger wrestling fan than you and I are present day. I was a pretty big wrestling fan a while back. I haven't been into it recently as much as I was.
Right.
But I know for a fact that they have matches that involve steel chairs. They have matches that involve flames.
Thumbtacks,
barbed wire. Yeah. And I don't know how you can look at a piece of paper, and I understand that it's scripted, but the violence is not scripted. The violence is real if the outcome is scripted. So I don't know how you can look at that and go, okay, if Sean, you stand up right now and bash me in the head with a steel chair 11 times.
After I jump off a 30-foot
After
fence.
You jump off a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
That is okay. However, if you were to stand in a ring across from me with 4-ounce gloves and attempt to punch me, that, my friend, is patently offensive to my moral compass and within the violence that's allowed in the state of New York New York.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm not going to try to take that side of it. No, it doesn't make sense at all.
You can't even rebuttal.
There is no if you're going to allow
boxing, this is a state that allows,
you're going to allow amateur of everything and WWE, which I support. I love the WWE. I'm just
and K1 kickboxing.
Right.
Pros can go in there.
Pro kickboxing, pro boxing, and pro wrestling. But if we put on 4-ounce gloves and I attempt to put you in a triangle, I get to go to prison.
Hey. Calm down in there with that cage with your legs wrapped around that guy. What are you doing? They're not making any sense, and it only fuels all the rumors that this is a union thing, that this is a mob matter, and that this is the reason it's not in New York. I don't have
now,
any other reasoning. I can usually find somebody's logic. Whether or not that's logical logic is a question. I can usually find their logic and say, okay, this is why they're trying to do this. There is no reason, even in a world of illogical logic, for this to be happening. There's no other reason other than if this is a shakedown. And that's what it feels like it is. It feels
now,
like a union shakedown.
I'm going to put you on the spot because I know I don't know the answer, and you might not know the answer even with your laptop in front of you. But
better find it.
The Culinary Union in New York, are they connected at all with the union in Vegas?
I don't know if they're directly connected or not. I just know that this has been the situation, and I don't even know if it's necessarily only the Culinary Union. If it's the Culinary Union putting pressure on all these other unions in New York. I mean, you've got the garbage men.
Sure.
You've got anybody who does catering. You've got culinary. Everything in New York City is unionized. Those guys won't pick up a hammer unless that is in their union job description.
Right.
So I think what you've got is a very pro-union environment. And again, unions do some great things, but when you see this, I don't see any other reasoning. I'd love for somebody to let us know. No, really, what is the reasoning? If you disagree with this, let us know. Go on Facebook, go on Twitter, at WashShow. Find us and give us a better reason, because right now that's all I can conceive this is.
And on our Facebook right now, you can see the map and see how ridiculous it is. The entire plant of North America is green, with one red dot in the state of New York as the only place that you can't have professional mixed martial arts.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and they're going to start losing out. You're going to see places in New Jersey. I mean, we've already seen the UFC do that, essentially just set up shop across the Hudson River and do some shows there. And there's enough in the Northeast where they can kind of skirt around that. They'd love to be in New York City, but if you run a show in Toronto, you've essentially grabbed anybody who's going to be up in Buffalo or upstate. If you run a show in Jersey, you've got New York City.
Yep.
It's gotten to the point now where every year Dana says we'll be in New York this year, and every year it doesn't happen. And
I think
it's their goal, but at what point does the effort need to be exerted to where they're getting any return whatsoever?
I don't know, but I think when you look at the map, it makes it almost like a lock. Why wouldn't this happen? You're the only place in North America. And speaking of Dana White, he came out this week. BJ said earlier in the week that he wants to make a return to lightweight, or could see himself make a return to lightweight. Rich Franklin has been talking about who his next opponent should or could be after that Kung Lee knockout. And Dana has said, look, I would really love to see those guys walk away. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's really, really tough, because only fighters can really determine when they want to put up the gloves. And it's really hard to do so. Sometimes you just need that. There's got to be that point in your life where, okay, hey, I'm starting my family, or you know what, that knockout was really, but you know, something you need to, you need something that lets you recognize, okay, I gotta, you know, step over. Now, do I think Rich Franklin or BJ Penn have what it takes to make another run for the title? No, they don't. I'm sorry, but if they want to retire off of a win, then I can see that point. You know, I'm not saying
even after the BJ Nick Diaz fight, because that was ugly.
It was ugly, and Roy McDonald was ugly
and
too.
And I don't want to see either of those ever again.
But let's pick a. I don't mean like a top lightweight, but give us like a mid level lightweight guy, or someone who's just right on like number six or something like that. You know, Gray Maynard and BJ Penn. I think that's a great fight.
You think that's even a fight anymore if we see the BJ we saw in the other fights? I think it's interesting that these are the two guys we're talking about too, Sean.
Right.
Because I think they're kind of far apart in where they are in their careers as far as their performance ability. Rich is a guy who's not taking a lot of punishment. He's a guy, obviously, he's had some brutal losses, but it's not a guy that's taken a lot of punishment during a lot of fights. Obviously, the Anderson Silva fight is the exception, but really, it's the only one in his career, and then he suffered the knockout at the hands of Kung Lee.
Yes.
And the knockout by Vitor Belfort.
Right, but he's not taking a ton of punishment. I feel like there's a couple fights left in him, and I've always been a big Rich Franklin fan.
Yeah.
So that could be the blinders I have on. I don't know who he fights, but
when you see this year Hughes retire and Matt Serra retire and Chris Lytle retire, I just think a guy like Rich Franklin has been an absolute consummate professional and a great spokesman for the sport. But even if he's got a couple left in him, I don't know that they're interesting.
I could see that, but I wonder if, and I'm looking at this and going back to our discussions in the earlier segments of the show, I'm looking at this as if maybe aren't there fights now for these guys where they're going to probably win. You put Rich Franklin takes on, pick the guy who's 13th in that list.
Nick Ring or something.
Right, that you and your friends vote on every week.
Okay.
What?
Did I say something wrong? No, but who would even want to see, even if that was the same
weight
class?
But if this is UFC on Fox Sports, why wouldn't you wouldn't want to see Rich Franklin fight?
I wouldn't want to see a former champion fight a dude who barely made it out of the Tough House. No, I wouldn't want to do that.
I see. I think we're going to have to get to the point with some of these cards and maybe
where we prove that we're feeding them tomato cans so they can retire on wins. That's where we're getting to.
Where we're looking for a fight. Shut up. Everybody in this room paid to watch Anderson Silva fight Stephen Bonner. Every single one of us. Every single one of us paid to watch that fight.
Oh, yeah.
That was to watch Anderson Silva fight. You're saying that when it's UFC on Fox
Sports 1.6. First of all, you, sir, are not going to make a comparison to Rich Franklin's dynamic fight style as paired compared to Anderson Silva. Because I would pay $60 to watch Anderson Silva fight a horse. So, like,
and he would win, too.
They're not even on the same level.
In a race.
No, they're not on the same.
He would outrun him and then punch him right in the face.
But
that's
asking
what he would do.
Me for $65 on a pay-per-view or asking
to watch Rich Franklin fight Nick Ring?
Or no, that's not that's my point.
Okay.
Asking for $65 for me to watch Anderson Silva on a pay-per-view is the same as asking for simply an investment of an hour or two of my time to watch Rich Franklin fight on UFC Fox Sports 1.
Hear, hear.
You drink too
much. I want to see him fight.
You drink too much before the show. All right, before the show is over, we've got to talk about Rampage because he has quit and found a new job. We'll talk about it very quickly. Next, it's Way of the Warrior, powered by Gun Lake Casinos.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Dizay from Triumph MMA, and Ken Evans, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos, and Onnit Supplements, online at onnit.com. Rampage has made his announcement. He's officially signed to Bellator. He will make his debut in the fall on both Bellator and, of course, the package deal. When you sign with Bellator, you get to be on TNA Wrestling. He will make a debut there as well. If you are a fan of Rampage, and we'll talk about the situation here in a second, but if you're a fan, we'll let you know the people over at ToyStoreCollectibles.com are offering a Pride version of Rampage, the Round 5 MMA Pride action figure of Rampage. And if you buy that, they give you a free Round 5 action figure from Series 6. So if you're a fan of the Round 5, as I am, and a Rampage fan, that's a pretty good get to get the awesome American Pride trunks and Rampage in his regalia. And like I said, he moves to Bellator, which, Sean, I think is a perfect place for him. Bellator is a great place for Rampage when you add in the professional wrestling, which is really kind of the crux of what he's been doing his whole career.
Yeah, I don't know the details, obviously. I think he put out a statement that once all this is out and he's working, he's doing whatever he's doing, that it'll change the MMA viewpoint.
World forever.
Something like that. You know, I'm really interested. I do like a lot of things about Bellator. One of my favorite things that I think they do great is that it doesn't matter who you are. If you have to go through the tournament, it doesn't matter what your record is. You could be fighting whatever. It's a good way of fighting. And when I say tournament, I don't mean so many fights in one night, you know, throughout the
four or five months, whatever
they do, which is awesome. I like that platform a lot. But then,
is that going to change, though? They're bringing in a guy like Rampage. Are they going to care as much about those tournaments that nobody watches, or are we seeing a change here? Are we seeing a dynamic with Viacom behind Bellator where they want to be the big dog? They've got more money than the UFC.
Sure,
People forget that.
Yeah. Viacom's
Bellator
huge.
Is part of Viacom, which has a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Zuffa's got a lot of money. They've been in the fight game a long time. If these guys want to throw money at guys, they can do it. And this is a situation where we heard during this press conference with Rampage, he says he feels a lot better working for Bjorn Rebney than he ever felt working for Dana White. He knows that he's going to be put first as a fighter in this organization. And you can agree or disagree whether or not Dana puts too much attention on himself. I don't think any of us can disagree about the fact that Dana puts more attention on himself than Bjorn Rebney does in Bellator. I don't think anybody can disagree with that.
That's kind of undeniable. But I've always found the sour grapes of Rampage interesting in that
certainly
I've never really seen, and then of course I'm not privy to the back end stuff that goes on, but on the outward side he seems to have had his pick of opponents. He's certainly had his fair share of title shots.
Sure.
He's fought the who's who of mixed martial arts, and being unhappy, that's totally fine. I think him being in TNA to me is more interesting than the Bellator.
Yeah, he's a colorful character. Yeah, man. That guy's he's fun, he's very witty, he can come up with anything on the spot.
Well,
I mean,
and
that guy's great.
He's one of those guys, and I don't know. We know Randy Couture is part of the deal too, where he's going to be on the fighting show.
Reality show, yeah.
So he's a guy, too, where he's got a movie deal in the works and a reality show in the works, Rampage does.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, too, because we just talked about it earlier, where guys like Rich Franklin and BJ Penn, Dana doesn't want to see them in the cage. Maybe they're not done fighting. Maybe we start seeing some of these guys show up in Bellator. And if that's the case, does that dynamic change, Eric, that Sean was alluding to, where it's all about the fighters and who wins a fight, or is it about guys that are going to get eyeballs on the TVs?
Even more interesting, Ken, going back to segment one, when you were comparing the UFC to the WWE, will this exodus of a guy like Rampage or a guy like BJ Penn or a guy like Rich Franklin, will they end up on TNA Wrestling, which was essentially the competitor to WWE that you saw Hulk Hogan go to and Sting and all of that stuff? Will we start to see these older guys head to Bellator?
That's a separate wrestling thing.
Yeah,
that's not the same.
Not the same thing.
There's
at
not
all.
One wrestling.
Correct.
Thing.
Correct. Oh. So like all of the ones that you grew up on, essentially, Sean, will now be on essentially on TNA, where you'll find Rampage and King Mo and those sorts of guys. And it'll be interesting, like Ken said, if you see guys like BJ and Rich make their way over to Bellator.
If Dana says they need to be done fighting and they're not done fighting, that's certainly going to be an option. And if Viacom's got pockets, that could be an option that makes them a lot of money.
All right, follow along all weekend long with the Fuel Fight. Big Nog and Fabricio Verdum at Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It's Way of the Warrior. We'll catch you next week.